Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The presence of God was very powerful here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we worship Him in truth and in spirit, I believe that we were singing songs of revival. We were singing songs of deliverance. We were singing songs of declaring that there is nothing that is impossible for our God. And I believe that some of you will have received breakthroughs in your life, deliverance in your life. You will see doors that are blocked in front of you open. Hallelujah. Even before the end of the year, you will see God's favor upon you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning we are looking at a psalm. Before we get there, I just want to welcome everyone into the presence of to our church this morning. Thank you for coming here, and I for those who are here in person and those who are attending online and watching us live, thank you for tuning in. This morning we're looking at a very familiar psalm. This is Psalm 121. A lot of us have by hearted this psalm. This is a psalm that is very familiar to most of us. It's a psalm that we often learn as memory verses. These are verses that we by heart. And I have often used this psalm in my prayers. I've often looked at this psalm as an encouragement. Lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This morning, God put a scripture on my heart, and I want to share about that. Now, previously, when I was speaking from this portion, I said that Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are psalms about pilgrimage. This is a psalm that is sung by pilgrims who are on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are usually psalms that are sung as they're going up this hill, as they're on this journey, and they've set their eyes towards the temple in Jerusalem. They usually sing these psalms. In a year, a faithful Jew or a devout Jew will make this pilgrimage three times. There are three festivals where they make this journey towards to Jerusalem. And I will talk about these three festivals later, but these are songs that they will sing as they are making this pilgrimage. So I believe that they're looking up at this mountain where Jerusalem is and where Zion is and where the temple of the living God is. And as they make their way up, they're singing, "We lift up our eyes to the hills," as they're walking towards Jerusalem. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This morning, I want to take a Bible portion in accordance to the scripture. Let us turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 4 onwards. So Genesis chapter 22, that portion will be there, but I'm going to read verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Genesis chapter 22 verse 4. This is the context of the portion that we're looking at. God decided to test Abraham. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." So this is the culmination of Abraham's faith testing. This is the period, this is the test which God embarks to test Abraham's faith. This is where Abraham will be made the father of faith. This is where his faith will be tested. So far, Abraham had left his family in Ur, and then he walked and he reached into the promised land that God gave him. But along the way, he made many mistakes. He lost faith. He sometimes went back to Egypt. He went to Gerar because of famine in the promised land. But then he came back when he found God's favor, And finally, it's this season of the almost towards the end of his life where he is being tested about his faith. And God tells him, Abraham. And he says, here I am. Go take your only son, Isaac. If I was Abraham, I would have said, Isaac is not my only son. I have another son. But in God's eyes, there's only one son that matters, and that is Isaac. And so God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Now this is, we have to keep this passage in mind, because Abraham is being to sacrifice the very thing that God told him as a promise. The very thing that God had given to him as a son, as a child, as a promise, God is telling, are you willing to give it up for me? This morning, we sang the song, your presence is heaven to me. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. When we sing that song that he is, his presence is heaven, we are saying that he is much more valuable than anything else we can obtain in heaven. Some people want to get to heaven to escape hell. Some people want to get to heaven so that they can finally get a mansion. Some people want to get to heaven because then they get to travel the world. Some people want to get to heaven to meet their loved ones. Some people want to get to heaven so they can eat food of all cultures and cuisines. Some people want to get to heaven because they are tired of living on this earth. But those who belong to the body of Christ are ones who look forward to heaven, not for any other reason, but to be with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If that is what we are looking forward to, then when we gather in his presence, where two or three have gathered in his name, he is here in our midst, and we will never give that up, because here we get a taste of heaven. Hallelujah. So when we look at this passage, and God is asking Abraham to sacrifice or to give up the one thing that God promised him, your beloved son, the son that you love, your only son, Isaac. This coming week, on Wednesday, I have to take my little child, who's turned 2 months today, exactly 2 months, to Burlington so that he can get a surgery in his mouth. He has something called a posterior tongue tie. Doctors tell me that because my son is only a few months old, it should not hurt him a lot. It's a quick procedure. It'll only take 15 minutes from entering through the door to exiting the door. The person who's operating will take a small scissors and will go and cut underneath his tongue, to cut the string that is tying his tongue and preventing it from moving. The doctor says, we did a good job in finding this early. The doctor says, it will not hurt him so much. But me and my wife, Betty, when we think of this surgery, we are in pain. It doesn't matter if the child experiences pain or not. We as parents experience pain watching our child go through something like this. Now, we know that this is essential for the child to have a healthy life, to have no problems, to have proper facial structure so that he can overcome and get a drink proper amount of milk, so that he can swallow his food, that he can talk normally, that he can sleep normally, that he can breathe normally. This is absolutely essential. So this is, we are doing this for his good. There is no doubt about that. But just because something is good for the child does not mean that watching it is easy. When God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son, I cannot imagine what Abraham had to go through. I don't look forward to this coming Wednesday because I'm worried about how my baby is going to experience this surgery. The doctor says after 2-3 days, the baby will be fussy. I think we as parents will be more fussy than the baby. It's just natural as parents, when our kid falls down or is in pain, we as parents receive that pain in our body. Abraham obeyed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. I'm imagining Abraham is taking this journey, and as he's going out, he looks at the distance. He sees the land of Moriah. And God tells him, God does not tell him where exactly to go. God tells him that you will go on the mountain, I will show you. So Abraham is walking and he lifts his eye up and he sees the place that he has to sacrifice his son Isaac. His promised son Isaac. His only son Isaac. The son who was given to him as his, the one whom he loves. And he walks, goes to that place, and he goes up the mountain. We know the story. As Abraham and Isaac are going up the mountain, Abraham leaves his servants down below, and he makes Isaac carry the wood. And Isaac asks this question that must have burnt Abraham, and asks him, Father, we have the food, we have the wood, we have the kindling. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham's answer is interesting because he says, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. In Hebrew, it is very vague what Abraham is talking. It's almost like Abraham is telling his son Isaac that you are the lamb for the offering. My son, you are the lamb for the burnt offering. It's almost like a hint that God, Abraham is telling his son Isaac. By the time they reach the mountaintop, already Isaac probably has a clue that something is going to happen. Isaac is not some little timid boy. He is a grown teenager or a man at this point. And there, when they reached where God, so verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, replied. The same voice that started in this chapter is now speaking to him. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Pay attention to verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horn. In verse 3, Abraham looks up and looks at the mountains in front of him, saying, those are the mountains where my son will be sacrificed. I'm sure Abraham cried, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? In verse 13, Abraham lifts up his eye again because God intervened. An angel of the Lord came between heaven and earth and stood in between the mountain where Abraham had to commit this sacrifice and said, "Wait, Abraham, do not lay a hand on him." Fast forward to another portion in scriptures. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 15 and 16. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and relented concerning this disaster and said to the angel who was destroying the people, "Enough, withdraw your hand." The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. Now let's read verse 16. David looked up. The key phrase I keep lifting is people are looking up. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell face down. The reason why this punishment was said is because David decided to make a census of the land to see his kingdom, to see how much he has established, how the kingdom has grown for his own pride. And because of this, God moved in anger and sent the angel of the Lord in punishment. But before this happens, God reaches to David and said, "What punishment should I do? What punishment should I do to you?" Gives him three options. David says, "Whatever you desire. Your mercy is never ending." So then God brings a plague upon the people of David, the people of Israel, because of David's sin. And then David is feeling guilty because he is the one who should have received this punishment. But it is people who were innocent who are being punished. So then, when this angel of the Lord comes on the threshing floor on top of a mountain where Arunah the Jebusite is located, this angel stops there. The angel of the Lord stops there, and David looks up, sees this angel, and sees that this angel is standing out with his sword. God stopped this angel because God had mercy. Verse 18. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad, a prophet, to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. So because of David's sin, God says, "David, you go up before the angel of the Lord, build an altar and do a burnt offering." What did God tell Abraham to do on the Mount of Moriah? To do a burnt offering. Here is another incident where God is telling David to go up on a mountain after looking up to do a burnt offering. So David goes on top of this mountain and buys this land for 600 shekel because he said, "I have to give value for this land." And he builds an altar to the Lord. And the sword is put, the angel of the Lord puts the sword back into its sheath. Verse 27. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. Verse 30 onwards. But David could not go before, now let's read 22 verse 1. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 1. Then David said, "The house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of burnt offering for Israel." Let us take another portion. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite, the place provided by David. What is the name of this mountain? Mount Moriah. The same mountain where Abraham had to climb up. He looked up and he saw this mountain, and God said, that's the place where you have to offer your son. That is the place where you have to sacrifice your son. Abraham came, and then on top of that mountain, he lifted his eye, and God provided a ram for him to do burnt offering. So he walked back down with the son unscathed. The same time David walks up that same mountain, comes up on top of this mountain on Mount Moriah, and meets the angel standing with a sword and pleads on behalf of his people because of his sin, and builds an altar and does a burnt offering and says, God, spare your sword. And so the angel of the Lord unsheathed his sword and put it back in its place. A few thousand years later, on the same mountain, Jesus rose up. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and he was sent to the Mount Golgotha. Golgotha in Hebrew Aramaic stands for skull. In Greek, that word means Calvary. What is Calvary? Calvary, malamel, kairi. What is Calvary? Calvary is Greek for skull. So they climbed the skull mountain. Jesus took his cross, went up, and the Father did not stop the knife from going down on his own son. That is our God. He saved all of Israel. He told the angel, put your sword back. I don't want my people to be destroyed. He cried out with the voice of the Lord. The angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, do not touch your son. But when it came to his own son, his only begotten son, the father turned his face away. Any parent will know the pain. Abraham didn't have to go through that pain. David didn't have to go through that pain. But God the Father allowed himself to go through the pain of seeing his own son dying. That is why this morning we can say, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The same mountain that Abraham went up and built an offering. The same mountain that David went up and built a burnt offering. The same mountain Jesus went up and was offered as a burnt offering for us. So that we don't have to become burnt offerings. This scripture here, this morning, Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 calls that place, this is the mountain of the Lord. This is the mountain where the Lord sees. Whatever you ask, he will see. He sees your needs. In the ningalde avashyam, namda kartav arino, he's El Roy, God who sees. This morning, maybe you came to the temple like the pilgrims who keep coming to the temple, who are looking at the mountain and saying, where will my help come from? Where? Enda sahayam evadanna verunu? Where will my help come from? That is your cry this morning. The God who did not spare his only son for you on the top of Mount Moriah, that same God, the God who sees, is here in your midst, and he will provide the lamb for your sacrifice. Where is the lamb? Who will be providing? Who is going to take the sword from the angel away? If you offer, build an altar of praise to God, our God is able to intervene and rescue you from any situation you're facing this morning. Father Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Father Lord, we receive your grace this morning. Father, we thank you that you did not spare yourself from the grief of sacrificing your own son on top of Mount Moriah so that we can experience the freedom that comes from knowing you as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our King of Kings, and our Lord of Lords. We surrender ourselves this morning. Father, I pray for people who are gathered here, people who might be listening to this message, who are feeling like they don't know where their help is coming from. Those who look to you will not be put to shame. As we lift up our eyes, just as Abraham did, just as David did, we lift up our eyes to you, Father. You are the maker of heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.